You're tuned in
to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And this is the show where we talk about all kinds of stuff, news, history, pop culture. Today we're going to talk about a television show. And we're going to talk about my all-time favorite television show.
Really?
It is. Okay. We are going to talk about The Simpsons. I love this show. It's my all-time favorite show. I've been watching it since it started, which was 36 years ago now.
On the Tracy Ullman show? That's when you started?
I started on the Tracy Ullman show, yep. And I've never missed an episode. I've seen them all. And I mean, now I kind of watch them in bulk on streaming afterwards. I don't watch them on Sunday nights. But back in the day, I used to videotape them to make sure I wouldn't miss an episode.
Oh, wow.
It's always been my favorite show. Now, you're not a Simpsons fan.
No, I hate to admit it. I've never watched one full episode.
Really?
Straight through. I know. I'm so embarrassed.
How could you not have seen one?
I mean, I did actually used to watch it on the Tracy Ullman show.
Okay.
So that was it.
Okay.
You know what it is? I think I never got into it because I'm like a, I feel like cartoons are childish, like, and I like that about mm-hmm. them. And when they like cross over to adulthood, I get like I want to watch innocent cartoons.
Right, right.
I know it's silly.
What's kind of interesting, and you know, we'll get into this a little bit, mm-hmm. but when The Simpsons started, it was like, oh, this is like, you know, an adult show, but it's a cartoon kind of thing. Now when you compare it to other cartoons out there, it is very quaint.
Tame, yes.
You know, by comparison. For sure. By comparison, I mean, you know, the biggest show it's compared to most of the time is Family Guy.
Right.
Which is much more risque. Right. And even that's, even Family Guy's kind of drifted because that's been around so long. That's been around over 20 years. That's kind of drifted into like a quaint kind of thing too, because there's even more extreme stuff than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it wasn't like I was being prude or anything. I was just like, oh, like it was stupid stuff that I was like, oh, it's supposed to be like Disney. I mean, I'm a Disney girl. Right. It was a far cry from Disney.
Well, now it's owned by Disney. So
yeah, we should start watching it.
Now it's officially part of the Disney family, actually. Okay. So they bought it. So, you know, because Disney owns everything. So I'll give you a little bit of the history of it.
Okay.
So Matt Groening was the guy who created it, the comic strip. He actually started doing a comic strip called Life in Hell, mm-hmm. which was these rabbits that kind of looked actually like The Simpsons, but they were rabbits and they would do these kind of things. And it was kind of edgy. It was kind of a cartoon. It was in the, you know, 80s.
Yeah.
It was, you know, kind of not a kid's cartoon. It, you know, kind of did some clever adult kind of jokes in it. And it ran in newspapers like the Village Voice and those mm-hmm. kind of papers.
I remember that, I think.
Yeah, it was counterculture and it was very popular and had mm-hmm. a cult following. And when Fox was starting its TV stations, which, you know, Fox started in 87 as a brand new network, they were looking for new shows to launch the network. They came up with the Tracy Ullman show. And they were looking for somebody to do little cartoon bumpers, what they call them, at the ends of the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Just little quick little cartoons. So they went to Matt Groening and said, hey, do Life and Hell, do cartoons of your comic strip. And the story goes, according to him, he was sitting in the office getting ready to like have his meeting with Fox. And he thought to himself, you know, if this bombs, this is going to ruin my characters, and this is my livelihood. The Life in Hell comic strip is my livelihood. You know, it's in newspapers. I sell books. You know, it's very popular.
Right.
So he really quickly doodled down human versions of the character and pitched it as a new show.
Hysterical.
Became The Simpsons.
I did not know that. That's fascinating. The
family members, Homer, Marge, and stuff, they all line up with his family. Those were his family name. You know, he's supposed to be Bart. So, you know, that's where that all came from. So, as you said, they started on the Tracy Ullman show. They were little clips and they became really popular. Maybe even more popular than the rest of the Tracy Ullman show.
I think so.
Some of the actors on the Tracy Ullman show actually ended up being the cast members, the voice cast. You know, Julie Kavner, who does the voice of Marge, she was on the Tracy Ullman mm-hmm. show, and a couple of other ones. But so Fox, after a couple of years of being on the Tracy Ullman show, Fox said, hey, you know, why don't you put together a show? Just, you know, we'll spin it off.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So they did a Christmas special. And that launched it and made, you know, the start of The Simpsons. That was the first episodes, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire, it was called. And they figured if it bombed, well, at least it's just a Christmas show. We can show it every year kind of
thing.
Right,
yeah.
And again, it's amazing to think about it now at this time. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is, you know, nobody's going to watch a cartoon in prime time. So one of the reasons why The Simpsons are yellow is because Matt Groening had the idea that when you were flipping through the channels, you'd notice them.
Okay.
And you'd maybe stop on
it. Stop, right.
You know, that was part of his part of it. So they launched it in 89, and now it's been on 36 years as a full series. 790 episodes, the longest running scripted television show in history.
Is he still the writer, the original creator?
He's still involved. Obviously, there have been a lot of people involved over the years.
Right.
You know, famously, Conan O'Brien was a writer on The Simpsons before he got his talk show. That's where he was working when they said, hey, you want to take over for David Letterman? And he wrote some of the classic episodes. Now, one of the things that a lot of people debate, and this is the key question, is has it been on the air too long?
Are you still watching new episodes as a big fan?
I still watch the new episodes. I still keep up with it. There's this whole debate of basically that it had its golden period, which was probably between like the second season and the 12th season. A lot of people, you know, so I mean, a 10-year
big
run.
Big stretch, yeah.
A big 10-year run, but a pretty small part of the 36, right, when you think about it. You know, there's 27 other seasons that are involved here. But so that's when a lot of people think, and if you see people quoting The Simpsons or if you see clips on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, a lot of it comes from that period.
Okay.
Those are kind of the classic things, a lot of the classic episodes. But very famously, many celebrities have appeared on the show.
Yeah.
Basically anybody you could think of has been on The Simpsons. And what's interesting, one of the first special guests they had was Penny Marshall, best known, of course, for Laverne and Shirley.
I think I did see that one, actually.
Yeah.
She was
the babysitter bandit, they called her, and she was babysitting The Simpsons. And she didn't actually use her name, like, on the credits. Like, she's
really?
Not listed, because she's like, nobody's going to know this, you know?
Wait, did the drawing look like her, or no?
Not really.
Oh, no. Then I didn't know.
Okay. No.
I think just look like her in general. I don't know.
A little bit. That's
a little
fair.
Bit.
Yeah,
right.
I'll give you that one. I don't know if that's an insult to Penny Marshall
or
The Simpsons.
I'm sorry.
But,
I apologize.
But either way. So now since that golden period, what a lot of people refer to it as, and the story Jump the Shark, they always say when a series is kind of gone past its prime, it jumps the shark. And that's like,
is that from Happy Days?
It's a reference to Happy Days,
yeah,
when the Fonz jumped a shark,
right,
on the water skis.
It's like, we have nothing left to do here.
And we've done everything. You know, many people think The Simpsons jumped the shark a long time ago, but then it has had seasons where it's kind of got a little bit of that magic back. And
right,
you know, some of the later seasons, there have been some really good episodes in it, too. And again, maybe I'm an apologist because I'm just so hardcore into the show.
Well, I mean, if it's still on, like, nothing lasts that long just because they like, you know, the creators like it. It has an audience, so.
Right. I mean, obviously, Fox Broadcasting thinks it's worth their time.
Sure.
You know, they've had to, you know, they famously have had dispute with the voice actors wanting more money over the years. And they threatened to replace them at times. And the fans said, no, you got to keep the original race.
Right.
But now it's been on so long that some of the people who have been on it have passed away, actually.
Yeah.
And they've had to do some changes because of that, or they've retired some characters. Most famously, Phil Hartman voiced a few characters in the Golden Age. And after he died in 95 or 96, I think it was, they retired his characters because he was had a very distinctive voice, and his characters were very much him kind of thing, you know.
Right.
So they kind of passed on after he passed on. But so I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the controversies with the show. Now,
okay,
we mentioned obviously the decline of quality that some people have talked about, but especially in the early days where, like you were saying in the beginning, where it was kind of considered edgy.
Right. But I didn't think it was so much edgy as just, like, I don't want to say crude, but like as a kid, like just see a cartoon that kind of, I don't know, like he was obnoxious, you know, stuff that you didn't see. I was like in the Cosby Show era.
Sure. And of course, they very famously moved The Simpsons on against The Cosby Show for a couple of years.
And that's probably where it came from. I was totally Team Cosby. Now I see.
Of course, in retrospect, maybe not the best choice.
Well, but, you know, my choices have not always been stellar. But.
Fair enough. But in the early days, the main focus was on Bart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expanded more. It's probably in the later seasons, it focused more on Homer as the main character,
mm-hmm.
the dad. But Bart in the early days, he was the rebel. There was the T-shirts that said, "Don't have a cow, man. I'm an underachiever and proud of it."
Right.
And this became a big controversy. Like, kids were wearing these to schools and teachers were like, "You're saying, you know, you're an underachiever and proud of it. You know, that what kind of example is this?"
Right. Yes.
"Won't somebody think of the children," which is actually a Simpsons line because they were kind of mocking the whole thing. They had, you know, a mom all upset saying, "Won't somebody please think of the children?"
Right.
And very famously, George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush, actually called out the Simpsons in a speech. He said he wanted the American families to be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons.
Right.
And there was actually a feud between the Simpsons and the Bushes at one time.
Which has only probably increased the popularity of the show, right?
Absolutely it did. Absolutely it did. And, you know, Barbara Bush actually made some comments and they actually had, like, Marge Simpson wrote Barbara Bush a letter.
Right.
And like saying, you know, wow, and then Barbara funny. Bush actually wrote back to her. And it was all, you know, kind of tongue in cheek. And then they actually did an episode where George Bush moved in across the street from the Simpsons.
Oh, that's pretty. Maybe I should start watching this show. It sounds
fun. You really should. I thought I was done.
Yeah.
It'll take you a while to binge. Because like I said, 790 episodes, okay. Half hour each. It'll take you a little while. So that was like the big thing. But then, like I said, it became more quaint over the years. It was just kind of people were like, well, you know, people aren't really using these people as role models because, A, they're not really people.
Right.
They're cartoons.
Yeah, I guess.
They're pretty clearly, you know, not real people when you watch the show. One of the other controversies is Homer Simpson's job in the show is he's a safety technician at a nuclear power plant.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the joke of that is Homer's not very bright and pretty incompetent.
Right.
So
right.
That's kind of a dangerous job to put somebody like him in charge of. The Nuclear Energy Commission was actually pretty annoyed by that.
Oh,
because
my goodness.
They thought like people were, you know, like looking at the, you know, them as incompetent because Homer Simpson was running a nuclear power plant.
I mean, that's a stretch.
That's a bit of a stretch. Seems... That is a bit of a stretch. And they actually did have like whole countries get mad at them at times. They did an episode where they went to Australia. They did one where they went to Brazil and they kind of leaned into some of the stereotypes of the countries and mm-hmm. kind of, you know, didn't show them maybe in the greatest light. And some of the countries actually like protested this.
Wow.
It's kind of wacky. Now, the jump the shark moment for a lot of people in the show was an episode called The Principal and the Pauper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Seymour Skinner is the character in the show. He is the principal of Bart's high school, and he's kind of like Bart's nemesis. He's like a very straight-laced kind of, you know, student thing, and, you know, mm-hmm. Bart's this troublemaking student. So there have been a lot of episodes where they, you know, clash, and that's like kind of like the rivalry. In the episode The Principal and the Pauper, they did a whole thing where he wasn't who he claimed to be. He actually took somebody else's identity, and the real Principal Skinner comes back. And then after a while, at the end of the episode, they're just like, "No, we like the original. We like the one we had already. So we're just going to get rid of the original one." And a lot of people hated that episode.
Really? Now, why? Because they liked the original character?
Yeah,
or they just felt
it was dumb. They just thought it was dumb. I think that's the real, you know, problem with it. So that put off a lot of fans. And a lot of people say that was around season 9 or 10, I think.
Now,
was in.
What decade are we in? Probably
late 90s at this point.
Okay.
It was around mid-90s, late-90s, I guess. So, you know, been on about 10 years at this point.
Okay.
Been around a little bit longer with the Tracy Ullman show. Of course, they also, you know, were very on commercials. Bart very famously was in Butterfinger commercials for mm-hmm. years and years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a whole tie-in with 7-Eleven when their movie came out. They like converted some of the 7-Elevens to Quickie Marts, which is kind of the 7-Eleven in the Simpson world.
Right. Now, did you see the movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they only did one movie.
Oh, they
There's only
did
been one
movie.
One movie.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But that came out in 2007. So that was, you know, 20 years into the show at this
wow.
point. Already, they finally did the movie. I'm of the mind, the movie is really great.
Oh, it is.
It's obviously, it's an extra long episode. It's a 2-hour episode, basically. But there's a lot going on in it, you know, and there's a whole big thing. And kind of at the end of it, they kind of almost end up back where they started, which is kind of interesting. That kind of would have been a moment to end it on, I could see.
So the film came out.
Yeah, the film could have been a final of it, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, there's been some good stuff since then. So I'm not, you know, again, I think I'm fine with it still going. So
let me ask you a question. Is nobody's aging on this show, right? None of the characters age.
No.
So they're just kind of, are they up with the times? Like, are they talking about current events and things?
It's kind of interesting because they've done a few episodes where they've had like flashbacks to like how Homer and Marge met when the kids were born. And when the show started in the 90s, in the late 80s, early 90s, they would do these flashbacks and they were going back to the 70s. Uh-huh. They've done more recent ones where they're actually going back to the 90s, which is interesting because the show was already 10 years old at this point when they were flashing back to. And so they've kind of revised some of the origins kind of things because I think Lisa's 10 and Bart's 12, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So, you know, they've always been kind of locked in and Homer's supposed to be somewhere in his mid-30s, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, so that's kind of what they're locked into.
Well, I guess that's the benefit of being a cartoon, right?
Obviously, yeah, they don't age.
You couldn't ever do that with another series.
Yeah.
That's why they end.
And they have had flash future ones, too. Mm-hmm. Where they're, you know, the kids are getting married or, you know, going through whatever they're going through. They've had to, like, the first couple of ones they did of those was kind of like, would have been like 2000 they were flashing forward to. Because they were doing it in the early 90s. It was supposed to be like 10 years in the future. So now they just, now if they do that, they make it like almost like sci-fi, you know, that they're like outer space almost kind of thing.
Maybe they should just start aging them. And then once they get too old.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. I mentioned earlier that Conan O'Brien was one of the writers and he, they had a round table where they had a bunch of the writers from the history of the Simpsons talking about the show. Mm-hmm. And they asked like, how should it end?
Yeah, you know, that's the problem.
How does it end? And Conan O'Brien's idea was that it should go full circle, that in the very first episode, the Christmas episode I mentioned, the parents are walking into a school play at the school that the kids are taking part in. And Conan O'Brien's idea is whatever they do in the last episode, they should say, oh, we got to go see the kids show and, you know, just kind of make it a whole big circle.
Or it was all a dream or something.
It was all a dream.
Right?
You know, it was all a dream. It was all a fantasy.
Right.
Now, probably the most controversial episode, and again, this is kind of in retrospect, kind of like you talking about Bill Cosby before. Mm-hmm. In season 3, they had their season debut. So this is at the point where Simpson Mania is really kicking in. It's the third season. You know, it's kind of become this phenomenon. There's the T-shirts all over the place. There's the Butterfinger commercials. The Simpsons are kind of the hot, cool thing. Bart's been on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Oh, right.
And the special guest was a gentleman by the name of Michael Jackson. And in the episode,
that I might have seen. That's
it's a very famous episode. Now it's kind of an infamous episode. So the plot of the episode, very briefly, is Homer. Bart actually puts his red hat in the wash, so Homer's shirt looks pink, and everybody thinks he's crazy because nobody would wear a pink shirt to work because everybody wears white shirts at work.
Right.
So he gets put in a mental institution.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of, they do a lot of movie references in the show, and so they do a lot to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in this episode. And one of the other inmates is a large white guy who thinks he's Michael Jackson. But the joke of it is Michael Jackson is actually voicing the character.
Oh, that's funny.
So it really is Michael Jackson doing the voice. And so he becomes friends with Homer. And Homer doesn't, like, realize he's not Michael Jackson because he doesn't, like, know what's going on in the world. So he calls up Bart and he's like, oh, I'm bringing Michael Jackson home. And everybody, like, freaks out because they think Michael Jackson is coming to see The Simpsons. And it turns out it's not. It's this guy from the mental hospital. And there's a whole subplot where they write a song for Bart's sister, Lisa, and him and Michael sing it to her. And it's a good episode, but you can't watch it anymore because they pulled it from syndication. It's not on streaming.
Really?
When they did the documentary a couple of years ago, Finding Neverland, where they talked about the accusations of Michael Jackson, of course, you know, with underage boys doing some things. They basically, in the documentary, said that Michael Jackson, like, used that episode So like say like, oh, I was on The Simpsons. Come watch this. And we'd take him back to his house and they'd watch it.
Oh.
And so the Simpson creators were like,
we don't want any part of this.
We don't want
right?
any part of this. So they buried it.
Wow.
They buried it. You know, if you have the DVDs, when DVDs were still a thing, when you buy DVDs of shows,
right?
It was on there because that was kind of before the controversy really popped up. But yeah, and the other thing that was interesting is when the show debuted back in 91, when the episode first aired, they actually showed the video after it for Michael Jackson's song Black and White.
Oh, really?
Which was his new single at that time. Yeah. So they debuted. So it was a whole big thing, like season debut of The Simpsons, special guest Michael Jackson. You'll see his new music video afterwards. And that music video was very controversial because at the end of it, there was this whole bit where he's just like doing this whole dance routine and smashing a bat against the car.
Oh, yeah,
and he
yeah,
kept
right,
grabbing his crotch kind of thing.
Right.
And everybody thought that was inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually cut that. So even at that point, it was already there was a controversy around it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But I mean, that's how big The Simpsons were, though, because they were like actually like tying in with Michael Jackson's new album.
Wow.
You know, when Michael Jackson was still big, you know.
They should do like a college course on The Simpsons, right?
They have them. There are a couple of them. That there are college courses where they actually study it.
Yeah.
It obviously, if you watch some of the episodes, it is kind of a microcosm of the times that each episode was shown.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm going to have to watch.
You got 790 yeah. episodes. I want you next week. We're going to do a recap. So you're going to be busy. There's like an episode where they get a computer, which was like a big deal, you know.
Sure.
Which, you know, now obviously.
Now do they all have iPhones? Like what's going on now?
Now they do. But there was like an episode where they first got one. That was kind of a big deal, you know, which now is just, you know, better of course, you know.
That's the one thing that's going to survive or like make it to alien planets. And it's going to be like, this is Earth.
This is how
In all its decades.
It's like, you know, they say like, you know, very famously, you know, and so you can tell when an episode of a TV show is from by the technology on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like watch Seinfeld episodes now, they're using landlines all the time to make phone calls or Friends or any of those shows, you know, from the 90s or 80s or earlier. So The Simpsons, you know, still going. As you mentioned, the movie came out in 2007. The movie was a hit.
Yeah.
And they were going to do another one like right away. They never got around to it. They still haven't done a second movie.
Is it because they're just too busy like churning out episodes?
You know, they said originally when they were coming up with the plot for the movie, there's a very famous cliffhanger episode of The Simpsons, Who Shot Mr. Burns?
Mm-hmm.
It was a season-ending episode where Mr. Burns, who is the owner of the nuclear power plant, he's kind of like the bad guy of the show. And he's very cartoony, evil, rich man, runs a nuclear power plant. Everybody hates him, steals candy from babies, literally.
Right.
And there was a cliffhanger of who shot him because he was shot at the end. It was kind of a play on the Who Shot JR from Dallas in the 70s. And so all summer long, there were like contests where you could like call a 900 number and put in your, you know, again, of its time kind of thing, you know, where you could guess who did it. Originally, they had thought of that should be the plot for the movie.
Okay.
But they decided to do it as episodes instead. And so it took a while until they got a script together for the movie. And it was until 2007 that they actually put the movie out. And there was criticism of like, well, you know, this should have just been on TV because it's a show that's still on TV. It's not anything completely different, but they have done South Park movies. They've done Bob's the Burgers movies.
Yeah, most movies.
It's
are
a cash
really,
grab.
Yeah,
but, you know,
exactly.
It's also a business. They're all, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been a recent controversy of it, and this also has spilled over into other cartoons like Family Guy and some of the other ones, is the voice actors, for the most part, are white people, and some of them are playing non-white characters.
Oh, okay.
There was a documentary that came out in 2017 called The Problem with Apu, which was put together. Apu is a character who runs the Quickie Mart. He's Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Azaria voiced him.
Right.
And he's actually, I think if you were to write, all the Simpson characters are kind of dumb in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But he was probably one of the smarter ones. And he was a typical character in the show. But he was, you know, the stereotype of an Indian man running a convenience store.
Sure, yeah.
So this documentary was put out, and Hank Azaria said he wasn't going to voice the character anymore. They should find an Indian actor. You know, to
replace. So it wasn't the character necessarily. It was just the voice actor.
It was a little bit of both. Okay. It was a little bit of both because, like I said, there was a few stereotypes of, you know, the voice was very stereotypical of an Indian accent. And there's a lot of stereotypes on the show, and most of them are just kind of doofy and funny, right. And they're kind of making fun of the fact that they are a stereotype.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. It's like all in the family. It's
a gray area. Yeah. I get it, you know. And, you know, if you're not Indian, you're probably obviously not going to be offended. But if you're Indian, you might be. So they actually still have the character, like, occasionally pop up, but he doesn't really talk any much. And he used to be a pretty major character.
Right.
But occasionally now he's just really seen in the background. So they really haven't quite figured out what to do with that yet. But there's a few characters who are African-American, and they actually who were voiced by white voice actors.
Okay.
And they actually have changed the voice on them to black voice actors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they've made adjustments with that. If you're a fan of the show, I know you're not a fan of the show. But Dr. Hibbert and Carl are like two prominent characters in the show, and they're both black in the show.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that in the very first episode, where they have Mr. Burns, who's the guy who's running the nuclear power plant, he has an assistant called Smithers. And in the very first episode, he was black. And then the subsequent 789 episodes, he was yellow, which is their version of white. And the creator of the show, Matt Groening, actually said that he didn't like the fact, because he was an assistant, he was in a subservient position to a white man.
Right.
He thought that was inappropriate.
Okay.
So even in the very beginning, they were making adjustments, like all the way back. Now I want to talk about a couple of things that are kind of like conspiracy theories or kind of, you know, urban legends that have sprouted out around the show.
Right.
So very early on, there was a couple of things that apparently were planned for the show that they dropped pretty quickly.
Okay.
As I mentioned, the human characters are based on Matt Groening's Life in Hell comic strip, which were rabbits. There was going to be a big reveal at the end of the first season that Marge was actually a rabbit, and that's why her hair was so high, because she was covering her rabbit ears. Yeah. They said, no, we're not going to do that. And there's a very famous character in the show, Krusty the Clown, who is Bart's hero. And he was, you know, kids show host kind of thing. Very parody of Bozo the Clown kind of thing. There was a subplot that they were going to have that Homer was actually Krusty the Clown and nobody knew it. He was actually doing that as a side job. But after a while, they're like, nah, we're just going to make him two separate characters. It's too complicated. We're not going to get that deep in things. Then the other thing that a lot of people talk about, there was an episode very early on, which was a clip show episode, where Homer was in a coma. He actually like gets knocked out because Bart shook his beer and it explodes and he gets knocked into a coma. So that's the excuse to get into the clips. They're doing memories while they're talking to him.
Okay.
And there is a theory that he's never left the coma. Because the show got much more wackier after that episode, and there was more kind of far-fetched kind of thing. So apparently we're in Homer's coma dream right now.
Oh, okay.
And that's like been going on for 25 years. So that's a theory that's never
been
confirmed.
I like that one. That seems
it's
more
interesting.
Likely.
It is interesting.
It's like not frozen, but like type of that type.
Exactly.
Of,
exactly. It's kind of like St. Elsewhere, where it was all going on in someone's
in
head.
Someone's
that they revealed that at the end of the show.
Yeah.
The other thing that The Simpsons is very famous for is predicting the future.
First of all, I know most of what you're talking about. I've never seen the show, so it's got to be like embedded in pop culture.
It is.
I know all these characters. I know the episodes. So
it's amazing. You know, you should watch the show.
Yeah, I know. I feel like
funny.
I know a lot about it.
But the predicting the future thing, most famously in. Well before he was ever president, they predicted Donald Trump was going to be president. So they actually had a flash forward episode where Lisa becomes the president. She's giving a speech and she says, well, we've inherited quite a debt from President Trump, because she was supposed to have replaced President Trump.
Now, what year was this that the
this
episode
was like,
came
I think
out,
it was like 2000 around that, 99 or 2000.
While.
So well before, you know, Donald Trump started his political career. And there was actually like if Kamala Harris would have won the election, it would have been kind of interesting because the outfit that Lisa wears looks very much like what Kamala Harris wears.
Wow. And
it's kind of interesting, but obviously that didn't come to be. But there's a bunch of other episodes that predicted Super Bowls and mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff. Again, people have also pointed out that they've just been on for so long and they've right. said so many
they've
things.
They've said everything.
They've said everything. And they've said everything numerous times
true.
That eventually
that
they were gonna hit. So.
Yeah.
So next week's episode is going to be Jen's review of The Simpsons.
The entire she's gonna catalog.
She's going to go through all 790 episodes. You're going to have to binge, no sleeping, no, you know, you're going to have to ignore the family, quit the job.
So the movie will not, like, wrap it up for me. Like,
no.
not, like I can't,
nope.
it's not like
nope.
a Cliff Note
nope.
version.
Okay. So not only do I want you to watch, I want you to take notes. You can watch it with the director commentary on to get, like, the behind the scenes. You got to catch up. You got
a lot
of catching up to do.
How about I start with one?
All right, fair enough. Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.